This is the reading for April 20th. Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit by me at my right side until I put your enemies under your control. The Lord will enlarge your kingdom beyond Jerusalem, and you will rule over your enemies. Your people will join you on your day of battle. You have been dressed in holiness from birth. You have the freshness of a child. The Lord has made a promise and will not change his mind. He said, 'You are a priest forever, a priest like Melchizedek.' The Lord is beside you to help you. When he becomes angry, he will crush kings. He will judge those nations, filling them with dead bodies. He will defeat rulers all over the world. The king will drink from the brook on the way. Then he will be strengthened." Judges chapter 7. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, also called Gideon, and all his men set up their camp at the spring of Herod. The Midianites were camped north of them in the valley at the bottom of the hill called Morah. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men to defeat the Midianites. I don't want the Israelites to brag that they saved themselves. So now, announce to the people, anyone who is afraid may leave Mount Gilead and go back home." So 22,000 men returned home, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take the men down to the water, and I will test them for you there. If I say, 'This man will go with you,' he will go. But if I say, 'That one will not go with you,' he will not go." So Gideon led the men down to the water. There the Lord said to him, "Separate them into those who drink water by lapping it up like a dog, and those who bend down to drink." There were 300 men who used their hands to bring water to their mouths, lapping it as a dog does. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "Using the 300 men who lapped the water, I will save you and hand Midian over to you. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of Israel to their homes, but he kept 300 men and took the jars and the trumpets of those who left. Now the camp of Midian was in the valley below Gideon. That night the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down and attack the camp for the Midianites, because I will give them to you. But if you are afraid to go down, take your servant Purah with you. When you come to the camp of Midian, you will hear what they are saying. Then you will not be afraid to attack the camp." So Gideon and his servant Purah went down to the edge of the enemy camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the peoples from the east were camped in that valley. There were so many of them, they seemed like locusts. Their camels could not be counted because they were as many as the grains of sand on the seashore. When Gideon came to the enemy camp, he heard a man telling his friend about a dream. He was saying, "I dreamed that a loaf of barley bread rolled into the camp of Midian. It hit the tent so hard that the tent turned over and fell flat." The man's friend said, "Your dream is about the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, a man of Israel. God will hand Midian and the whole army over to him." When Gideon heard about the dream and what it meant, he worshipped God. Then Gideon went back to the camp of Israel and called out to them, "Get up, the Lord has handed the army of Midian over to you." Gideon divided the 300 men into three groups. He gave each man a trumpet and an empty jar with a burning torch inside. Gideon told the men, "Watch me and do what I do. When I get to the edge of the camp, do what I do. Surround the enemy camp. When I and everyone with me blow our trumpets, you blow your trumpets too. Then shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" So Gideon and the 100 men with him came to the edge of the enemy camp just after they had changed guards. It was during the middle watch of the night. Then Gideon and his men blew their trumpets and smashed their jars. All three groups of Gideon's men blew their trumpets and smashed their jars. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands. Then they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each of Gideon's men stayed in his place around the camp, but the Midianites began shouting and running to escape. When Gideon's 300 men blew their trumpets, the Lord made all the Midianites fight each other with their swords. The enemy army ran away to the city of Bethshittah toward Zerara. They ran as far as the border of Abel-Meholah near the city of Tabath. Then men of Israel from Naphtali, Asher, and all of Manasseh were called out to chase the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers through all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, "Come down and attack the Midianites." take control of the Jordan River as far as Bethbara before the Midianites can get to it. So they called out all the men of Ephraim who took control of the Jordan River as far as Bethbara. The men of Ephraim captured two princes of Midian named Oreb and Zeeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeeb at the winepress of Zeeb, and they continued chasing the Midianites. They brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon, who was east of the Jordan River. Judges chapter 8. The men of Ephraim asked Gideon, "Why did you treat us this way? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight against Midian?" They argued angrily against Gideon. But he answered them, "I have not done as well as you. The small part you did was better than all that my people of Abiezer did. God let you capture Oreb and Zeeb, the princes of Midian. How can I compare what I did with what you did?" When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, they were not as angry anymore. When Gideon and his 300 men came to the Jordan River, they were tired, but they chased the enemy across to the other side. Gideon said to the men of Succoth, "Please give my soldiers some bread, because they are very tired. I am chasing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." But the leaders of Succoth said, "Why should we give your soldiers bread? You haven't caught Zeba and Zalmunna yet." Then Gideon said, "The Lord will surrender Zeba and Zalmunna to me. After that, I will whip your skin with thorns and briars from the desert." Gideon left Succoth and went to the city of Peniel and asked them for food, but the people of Peniel gave him the same answer as the people of Succoth. So Gideon said to the men of Peniel, "After I win the victory, I will return and pull down this tower." Zeba and Zalmunna and their army were in the city of Karkor. About 15,000 men were left of the armies of the people of the east. Already 120,000 soldiers had been killed. Gideon went up the road of those who live in tents east of Noba and Jogbeha, and he attacked the enemy army when they did not expect it. Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian, ran away, but Gideon chased and captured them and frightened away their army. Then Gideon, son of Joash, returned from the battle by the pass of Heres. Gideon captured a young man from Succoth and asked him some questions. So the young man wrote down for Gideon the names of 77 officers and older leaders of Succoth. When Gideon came to Succoth, he said to the people of that city, "Here are Zeba and Zalmunna. You made fun of me by saying, 'Why should we give bread to your tired men? You have not caught Zeba and Zalmunna yet.'" So Gideon took the older leaders of the city and punished them with thorns and briars from the desert. He also pulled down the tower of Peniel and killed the people in that city. Gideon asked Zeba and Zalmunna, "What were the men like that you killed on Mount Tabor?" They answered, "They were like you. Each one of them looked like a prince." Gideon said, "Those were my brothers, my mother's sons. As surely as the Lord lives, I would not kill you if you had spared them." Then Gideon said to Jether, his oldest son, "Kill them." But Jether was only a boy and was afraid, so he did not take out his sword. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said to Gideon, "Come on, kill us yourself. As the saying goes, it takes a man to do a man's job." So Gideon got up and killed Zeba and Zalmunna and took the decorations off their camels' necks. The people of Israel said to Gideon, "You saved us from the Midianites. Now we want you and your son and your grandson to rule over us." But Gideon told them, "The Lord will be your ruler. I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you." He said, "I want you to do this one thing for me. I want each of you to give me a gold earring from the things you took in the fighting." The Ishmaelites wore gold earrings. They said, "We will gladly give you what you want." So they spread out a coat, and everyone threw down an earring from what he had taken. The gold earrings weighed about 43 pounds. This did not count the decorations, necklaces, and purple robes worn by the kings of Midian, nor the chains from the camels' necks. Gideon used the gold to make a holy vest, which he put in his hometown of Ophrah. But all the Israelites were unfaithful to God and worshipped it, so it became a trap for Gideon and his family. So Midian was under the rule of Israel. They did not cause trouble anymore, and the land had peace for 40 years, as long as Gideon was alive. Gideon, son of Joash, went to his home to live. He had 70 sons of his own, because he had many wives. He had a slave woman who lived in Shechem, and he had a son by her, whom he named Abimelech. So Gideon, son of Joash, died at a good old age. He was buried in the tomb of Joash, his father, in Ophrah, where the Abiezrites live. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel were again unfaithful to God and followed the Baals. They made Baal-berith their god. The Israelites did not remember the Lord their God, who had saved them from all their enemies living all around them. And they were not kind to the family of Jerubbaal, also called Gideon, for all the good he had done for Israel.